God bless you. Bless you. Welcome you today to our Resurrection Sunday service, and thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for being a part of our celebration. Essentially, we came in here today to celebrate the Lord, and everything we're doing is about Him. Amen. So I want to take a few minutes here and just minister the Word of God. I will not be long at all, but one or two things that are really powerful in my heart that I want to share with us on this Resurrection Sunday service. Amen. I'm going to start out by reading a couple of scriptures. First, I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Philippians chapter 2 and from verse 5, and that says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Right then, that scripture, I have two more I'm going to read. One more from Philippians and then one of the ones in the Gospels. But right then, that scripture, you see where the Lord, where the writer describes the character of Jesus first. Everything he's telling us here is what the name of Jesus conveys. The first, though, is his character. He says, "He being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." So look at that. He didn't grasp at the opportunity to be called God, even though he was God. He wasn't that self-willed or self-ambitious. He also says that he made himself of no reputation, though he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he made himself nothing. He made himself nobody. And then he says he took upon him the form of a servant, the form of a servant. So he came to serve. And then he was made in the likeness of men. The same people he came to redeem, the same people he came to save. And then being found in fashion as a man, because he made himself like a man, he then humbled himself. He humbled himself. He didn't stop there, but then he became obedient. And he became obedient even to the least thing, the last thing that he really should have been obedient to, which was death. That was the greatest enemy of mankind, but he became obedient even to death so as to fulfill the will and the purpose of God the Father. I know that on a lot of times when we talk about the name of Jesus and when we talk about resurrection and we talk about some of the reasons why we celebrate the resurrection, sometimes the farthest things on our mind, the last things on our mind, are the aspects of his character. But actually, on that resurrection ladder, the name of Jesus ladder, and the three major components that convey that name and the power in that name, at the very base of that ladder is his character. His character is actually what forms the basis for the other two levels that we experience and enjoy on that ladder. And then, of course, right after the apostle tells us about his character, then he goes on and tells us about these other two levels. So then he says in verse 9, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. So we know that's his identity. God gave him a name that is above every other name. And then he tells us in verse 10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, so I'm going to run through a few very pertinent notes here, but if there's nothing else you remember in what I minister today, I want you to remember this. I want this etched very strongly and permanently in your spirit, that at the foot of the ladder that comprises everything that the name of Jesus represents to us, at the very base of that ladder is his character. I want you to notice that the Word of God does not talk about his identity. The Word of God does not talk about his authority until the Word of God had actually told us about his character. And I do very strongly believe that one of the reasons why a lot of times the name of Jesus does not produce results for believers in a moment of difficulty sometimes, or in a moment of trial sometimes, or in a moment of danger sometimes, is because we often overlook the place of his character. His character is actually the base, that's the basis of everything that his name carries. So I am going to be celebrating the name of Jesus in the few things that I share with you. That's really where I'm going to spend the bulk of my time. But I want this etched very strongly and permanently in your spirit, that his character, becoming like Jesus, is the foremost assignment that God gave to us as believers. Remember when they called the Christians, they were the believers, the church. They called them Christians for the first time. I think it was in Acts 11, 26. I've been maybe missing the verse, but I think it's verse 26. But remember, when they called them Christians the very first time, it was not because of the power of his identity. It wasn't because of the power of his authority. Because a lot of that had already been demonstrated through the book of the Acts of the Apostles after the church was birthed. His identity was already plainly revealed. His authority was already plainly revealed. Remember, by the time we got to Acts chapter 11, a lot of things had happened between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11. But the very first time the believers, the church, were called Christians, which is Christ-like people. That's what Christian really means. Christ-like people. The very first time they called them that was right after this man, Barnabas, had gone to get Saul, or became Paul later on. And both of them had stayed in that church in Antioch, and they were ministering with the believers, and the believers were ministering together with one another, fellowshipping with one another. And they were strongly displaying the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were strongly displaying the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. The character of his humility. The character of his love. The character of his servitude. The character of how he emptied himself. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. I know this is not a very, very familiar, it's probably not something we're going to hear a lot about on Resurrection Sunday. But I just want you to know, one of the reasons this concept and this aspect of Jesus and who he was is so powerful is because that was the basis of everything else that he did. You see that scripture there where he says, therefore, you see that scripture there, what verse is that? I think that's verse 9. After he had said everything about, some things about what Jesus did, his character, then he said, therefore, in verse 9, God also has highly exalted him. Well, One preacher used to say, actually, I think it was the late Kenneth Hagin, used to say, whenever you find the word therefore in the Bible, the first thing you should ask yourself is, find out why what that word is there for. So every time you read the scripture, every time you read in the Bible, therefore, stop, pause, and ask yourself, I wonder what that word is there for. And in this particular scripture, when he goes all the way and then he says, therefore there is a bridge between what he had been discussing and what he was now about to tell them. He was about to tell them about the authority that was in the name of Jesus. He was about to tell them about the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he became, the fact that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. And that's because God gave him that name. It's that same name that God had introduced himself to Moses by in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses says, what should I tell the people? Who should I tell them sent me? God said to him, tell him I am that I am sent you. That I am, who is everything that the name of God is, Jehovah, Yahweh, and all of that. He gave that name to Jesus. But notice the word therefore. So that means God didn't just arbitrarily give that name to Jesus. He didn't just say, we had an agreement before you left heaven that on so-so day, one of these days, you remember there's that scripture in the Psalms where he says, and I think it's repeated somewhere in Hebrews, where he says, on this day I have begotten you as my son, right? So that, yeah, we had an agreement that, you were going to do this and we were, it wasn't arbitrary but the scripture is telling us the Lord made that conferment upon him based on what Jesus did. And I think a lot of times as believers, we hurry past the aspect of his character. The fact that he was not a brash person. He was not an impatient person. He was not an unforgiving person. He was not hateful. Jesus never hated anybody. I mean, the world today, sometimes unfortunately, sad to say, even the body of Christ is full of haters. Sad to say, full of people with very unfortunate grievance. And the Bible says Jesus made himself of no reputation. I found out this is one of the most important things that we can receive about Jesus. You can't manifest his gift. Actually, a lot of people can. You can. There's no law that says you can't. But you really cannot effectively manifest his gift in the way that the Lord ordained without first displaying his character. Whenever you manifest his gift without paying attention to his character, there's always something missing in that equation. There's always an accident bound to happen somewhere. So that means, because the Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God can confer his gifts, he can confer his graces, he can confer his anointings upon us without requiring anything of us, because these things are given to us freely by the Holy Spirit. But the original plan of God was that the giftings, the identity, the authority of God that is given to us as believers will rest on the character of Jesus. That is, we are supposed to be constantly seeking to be like him. That's what it means to be a Christian. It doesn't mean you are entirely like him already. I can't see the people behind the screens at home. But at least I know the few people here. If any one person here says they are already fully like Jesus, I'm going to call the police to come and take them out, because I know they are lying. There's nobody on this earth that is all the way entirely like Jesus already. But our calling, our aspiration, our assignment, primary assignment, is to seek to be like Jesus. I think sometimes that message is lost in the body of Christ. We sometimes glorify more the ability to get certain results. We sometimes glorify more the ability to have glory, an external glory that men sometimes acclaim. And sometimes we have this thought, as long as I have the results and as long as I have the external success and as long as I have the glory that men acclaim, Oh, forget about the rest of it. No, 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 don't forget about the rest of it. Because that's really our primary responsibility, is to try to be like Jesus. Every waking moment, every day, our aspiration, our desire, our ambition is to try to be more and more and more like Jesus. And I found out a long time ago, that's really where the power is at. That power of his resurrection, when it becomes manifest in our lives, but when it's resting on the character of Jesus, is a power that will produce in our lives all the time. Is a power that will get us out of the traps of the enemy. Is a power that will give us the new beginnings that Jesus died to give to us. Is a power that will put us above the workings of the assaults of the devil out there. Because that is what his power rests on. It rests upon him, who he is, his personality and his character. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, so then in Philippians chapter 3 also, you see there from verse 10 where the Bible says, Paul, still Paul writing, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want you to see a correlation there between what we just read in Philippians 2, 5 to 11 and what he's saying here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Notice he didn't switch the order around. Notice he didn't say, that I may know the power of his resurrection, and then I hope at some point I can get to know him. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I really like that one. Being made conformable unto his death. Then he said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. It's part of what we're celebrating today. Our ability to attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Our ability to come out of anything. Hallelujah. Our ability to bounce back from anything. Our ability to enjoy a new beginning in Christ Jesus in every phase, in every sphere, in every situation of life. He says that my aspiration is, I hope that by some means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. I aspire and I dream and I hope and I desire that some way or the other, through the miraculous working power of God and the Holy Spirit in my life, some dead dreams might come back to life. Some things that I've been giving up on might be revived and resurrected. That things that seem hopeless can receive the life of hope again. And that I can go as far as God ordained that I go. And regardless of where I may have stumbled, or where, regardless of where I may have fainted, I may have been tired and stuck and felt like I didn't want to go further, that the power of his resurrection, that I might attain unto his resurrection. But notice that all of this works together. Then he says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained. I'm not trying to tell you that I already got there. I'm not trying to say to you, I already have it together. I'm not trying to say to you, I already have everything. No, no, no. That's not what I'm trying to say to you. What I'm trying to say to you is that I'm following after, if that I may apprehend. I know why he called me. I know why he changed my name. I know why he saved me. My greatest desire is I am committed to following after, so that I may apprehend that which also for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I want to become everything that he called me to be. I want to become everything that he destined me to be. I want to go as far as he ordained my life, my destiny to go. I don't want my journey cut short in any way. I don't want to be stranded. I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to be frustrated. I don't want to stop short of the best that God has for me. That is my lifelong ambition, my lifelong aspiration. I just want you to know, I'm not trying to say to you that I have it all together. What I'm trying to say to you is that I'm aspiring and I'm pushing and I've made up my mind that I'm not going to stop until I get as far as God has called me to go. Hallelujah. And notice how he ties all of that up. He ties it into the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. And then he says there, brethren, in verse 13, I think this is that scripture we all love very much. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, woo-hoo, reaching forth unto the things that are before. Hallelujah. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm forgetting everything that lies behind me. I'm forgetting everything behind. I'm forgetting everything behind. And I'm pressing. I'm pressing. I'm pressing. I'm pressing. And you know why you can have an assurance to press is because the power of his resurrection is alive and well in you. That power that continually renews you. That power that continually refreshes you. I found out a long time ago, a lot of people, they take the renewal that happened as a result of our salvation, they relate with it as a one-time thing. But actually, in Christ Jesus, the Lord has made it so that you and I can enjoy a new beginning in multiple seasons of our lives. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But you know what? A lot of people interpret that scripture to mean one time when we came to Christ at the foot of the cross. He made all things new. So we're no longer unsaved. We are now saved. And that's it. That's the one-time renewal experience. But that's not so, actually. If you study the epistles, especially in Titus, it talks about this ongoing work of the Holy Spirit to bring renewal and regeneration. That is, the new beginning experience is something that is available to us every single day, every waking moment. The power of a new beginning. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead. When we come into Christ, the Lord gave us his name. And when he gave us his name, we automatically became qualified to enjoy a new beginning. So maybe you did well in 2019, but you are not satisfied. You know you didn't do as well as you needed to do. In 2020, you can have a new beginning. Maybe in January 2020, you had some good things happen, praise God. But in February, you just feel like maybe you feel like you are falling short. There's so much more that God, then you, in February 2020, you can have a new beginning. As a matter of fact, where the world is today, the world is going to need a new beginning at some point or the other. But you know what? The death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ already guarantees that. That no matter what goes on in the life of a believer, at some point when you lay hold on the realization, the full realization and the revelation of what Jesus did by his resurrection, you can have a brand new beginning. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to make all things new. So when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 and he says, all things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. That's not just when you went to the cross the first time. That's today and tomorrow and next week and next month. That you can enjoy the new beginning that God has for you in Christ. Somebody say amen to this. Hallelujah. He said, I'm forgetting the past. I love that. He said, I'm forgetting, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm reaching forth unto those things that are before. It doesn't matter what my experiences were last week, last month, last year. I'm pressing on. I'm reaching forth. I'm reaching forth. I'm reaching
reaching forth. I'm pressing for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing for it. I'm pressing for it. I'm pressing for it. Woo, I'm pressing for it. Woo, hallelujah. I'm pressing for it. I'm pressing for it. The power of his resurrection is alive and well inside of every believer. The power of his resurrection. You can come back from anything. A few weeks ago, the Lord said to me, Jesus will always have the last laugh. He said that. Jesus will always have the last. I said, son, do you know Jesus will always have the last laugh in your life? Satan will not have the last laugh. COVID will not have the last laugh. Death will not have the last laugh. Sickness will not have the last laugh. Poverty will not have the last laugh. Frustration will not have the last laugh. Jesus will have the last laugh in every situation of your life. Why? Because he rose from the dead. The power of his resurrection is alive and well inside of every believer. There is no dream too far gone to be revived. There is no miracle too far gone to be given up on. There is no dream too far gone to be let go of. Jesus rose from the dead. And you know what happened between Friday night and Saturday? Satan was laughing. They were throwing a party. They said, we got him. Finally, we got him. You know, the mockery of the Jews, the mockery of the soldiers, the mockery of the religious leaders was just an extension of what was going on in the spirit. All of that mockery was just an extension of what was going on in the spirit. Satan was throwing a party. He thought, finally we got him. Woo! Finally we got him. Finally we got him. But on Sunday morning, Jesus came roaring back from the grave. Hallelujah. Jesus came roaring back from the dead. And he said, I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive again. You know, his disciples had a hard time believing it. And then when he sent those women, he said, go tell my disciples. And there's one particular one. He said, tell him. That was Peter. Couldn't believe it. Go tell them. I'm back from the dead. I'm back from the dead. I'm back from the dead. The Lord just put in my heart to let you know, you're coming back. 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 I love the podcast that was released this morning. It was recorded several weeks ago, actually. But one of the lines in that podcast say, sometimes you may feel like this is the end, but this is not the end. It's just a bend in the road. This is just a bend in the road. We're coming back. And this time when we come back, we're coming back with a greater glory. We're coming back with a greater glory. Hallelujah. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We're coming back from the dead. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I just want to leave you that word. I just want to leave you that word. That the power of his resurrection will be made alive within you. The power of his resurrection. Oh my gosh. I promised myself I wouldn't sing today, because you know when I sing, I drag the service. And I promise I wouldn't sing. But I was preaching so hard, the Holy Spirit started putting this song in my heart. Most of you probably don't know it. We used to sing it several years ago. Resurrection. 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 And then the music will go. Da, da, da. Resurrection. 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 It's by the power of God and by the Spirit of God that the life of God is manifest. Yes. promise myself, I'm not singing today. And as I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit starts singing this song behind my ears. Resurrection. 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 Pa-da-da. Resurrection. 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 Pa-da-da. It's by the Spirit of God, oh, by the power of God, that the life of God is manifest, is the life of God is manifest in me. Pa-da-da. It's by the Spirit of God, oh, by the power of God, that the life of God is manifest. Yes, the life of God is manifest in me. Can you sing it one more time? Resurrection. 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 Ta-da-da. Resurrection. 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 Ta-da-da. It's by the Spirit of God, oh, by the power of God, that the life of God is manifest. Yes, the life of God is manifest in me. Ta-da-da. Oh, it's by the Spirit of God, oh, by the power of God, that the life of God is manifest. Yeah, the life of God is manifest in me. Can you sing that one more time? It's by the Spirit of God. Everybody, come on, sing. It's by the Spirit of God, oh, by the power of God, that the life of God is manifest. Yes, the life of God is manifest in me. Da, da, da. Oh, it's by the Spirit of God, oh, by the power of God, that the life of God is manifest. Yes, the life of God is manifest in me. Hallelujah. It's by the Spirit of God, and it's by the power of God. See now, let me close. Thank you. It's by the Spirit of God, and it's by the power of God, that the life of God is manifest, and the life of God is manifest in me. In every sphere of my life, the life of God is manifest. In every sphere of your life, the life of God is manifest. The life of God is breathing life into your mind. The life of God is breathing life into your brains. The life of God is breathing life into your emotions. The life of God is breathing life into every cell of your body. The life of God is breathing life into your dreams. The life of God is breathing life into your hopes and your aspirations. The life of God is breathing life into you. And the Holy Spirit wants you to know that because Jesus rose from the dead, the life of God will be manifest in you, no matter how far gone. There might be somebody sick and dying listening to me across the airwaves. I want you to know that the life of God can be manifest in your physical body. There might be someone feeling hopeless and confused in despair. I want you to know that the life of God can be made manifest inside of your life. You can come back from the dead. You can come back from the dead. You can come back from the dead. You can have a brand new life. And when you come back this time around, you come back with greater glory, because the Bible says the glory of the latter house shall surpass the former. Hallelujah. The Bible says faith. Eyes have not seen it, and ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has reserved for those that love him. You're coming back. You're coming back. You're coming back. The world is gonna read your story. The world is gonna read your story, because you're coming back. You're coming back with a greater glory. You're coming back with a greater glory. Forgive me, I didn't plan any of that. That wasn't supposed to happen. I'm just yielding to the Holy Ghost. The life of God will be made manifest in you. The life of God, like a spring of living water, will be manifest in you. The life of God will breathe upon everything that concerns you. The life of God, and I gotta close. The life of God, the life of God, the life of God. God is gonna make something beautiful out of that ugliness. God is gonna make something glorious out of that despise. God is going to make something wonderful and amazing out of that ordinary. The life of God will be made manifest in your life. Let me close. It's a story of a beggar in Acts chapter 3. He sat down in front of the gate called Beautiful. He's an ugly beggar. With an ugly life, with an ugly story, sat down every day in front of the gate called Beautiful. A beautiful gate, ugly beggar. But Jesus of Nazareth came walking by. And Jesus of Nazareth wasn't even coming by in his physical being. He was coming back in his resurrected life through two of his disciples, Peter and John. And Jesus of Nazareth walked by a beautiful gate, an ugly beggar. And he looked up to Peter. Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." The ugly beggar came back to life. The ugly beggar came back to glorious life. From this day onward, he will no longer beg again. From this day onward, he could actually get married. From this day onward, he could start a family. From this day onward, he could start a job, a business. He could earn his own money, his own living. From this day onward, he could have a glorious destiny. But he was an ugly beggar in front of the beautiful gate. And in Acts chapter 3 verse 16, I love it very much, because that's just like John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus came to give us a new beginning. And in Acts chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible says, Peter said unto the people that were watching, "It's not us, it's not us, but it is through Jesus and faith in his name that has made this ugly beggar have a beautiful life, have a beautiful new beginning." It's faith in the name of Jesus. It's faith in the name of Jesus. So as I close our celebration today, remember three things. Jesus is alive and well. The resurrection proves our God is not dead. Number two, you have the power of a new beginning wherever you are. Jesus will have the last word. Jesus will have the last laugh. This is just a bend in the road. This is not the end. Number three, he gave us his name. And the name of the Lord is everything. Can you help me just celebrate him? Just lift up your hands and just worship him. Just call his name Jesus. It's a beautiful name. Jesus is 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 a beautiful name. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you so very much for this glorious day. This Resurrection Sunday, thank you, God, for the life of God that is being made manifest in all of our lives. I thank you, God, for all of my brothers and all of my sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice, everyone that has joined us in this service, those that are here physically present in this studio, in this building, and those that are with us online some way or the other, some media format or the platform or the other, and those, God, that might listen to this afterwards, in the name of Jesus, I ask, God, cause that the resurrection life, the resurrection power, the resurrection glory of the Holy Spirit that was manifest in the life of Jesus, let it become manifest in every life. Give them a new story like you gave to that beggar sitting in front of the beautiful gate. Give them a new story. Give them a new beginning. Give them a new experience in the name of Jesus. Do something supernatural. Do something outstanding. We remember, God, all over the world, there's so much pain in this season because of what is going on with the coronavirus. But we thank you because Jesus has been given a name that is higher and above every other name. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We declare that Jesus Christ will have the last laugh in this situation. Jesus Christ will have the last laugh in this pandemic. Jesus Christ will have the last laugh. The world will have a new beginning. Your people will have a new beginning. Men and women all over the world, all over this nation, in the body of Christ, will have a new beginning. We will come back with greater glory. We will experience you more than we ever have. I thank you for it, Lord. I bless your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Say, Jesus is alive and well. Say one more time, Jesus is alive and well. And you know that songwriter said, because he leaves, I can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. Because he leaves, all fear is gone. And now I know he holds my future. And all things will work together for my good. Because Jesus is alive and well. Thank you for being a part of this service. Thank you, those of us that came to help us today. Thank you, Father, for your blessings over our lives. Have a glorious Resurrection Sunday celebration with your family or whoever you have around you. Remember, Jesus is alive and Jesus is Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. God bless you.